We gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May you always dwell in this land with respect and peace.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
May his grace and peace be with you. May God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and hope, of those who doubt, may we, who have not seen, have faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
From the Revelation to John. John à cette église qui sont en Asie, grâce et paix vous soient données, de la part de celui qui est, qui était et qui vient, de la part de cet esprit qui sont devant son trône, et de la part de Jésus-Christ, le témoin fidèle, le premier-né d'entre les morts et le prince des rois de la terre. À celui qui nous aime, qui nous a délivrés de nos péchés par son sang, qui a fait de nous un royaume, des prêtres pour Dieu son Père. À lui gloire et pouvoir pour les siècles des siècles. Amen. Voici, il vient au milieu des nuées, et tout œil le verra, et ceux-mêmes qui l'ont percé. Toutes les tribus de la terre seront en deuil à cause de lui. Oui, amen. Je suis l'alpha et l'oméga, dit le Seigneur Dieu, celui qui est, qui était et qui vient, le souverain. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
May God be with you.
Also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May I speak to you of the risen Christ who breathes on us and sends us. Amen. Last week on Easter Sunday, our story was about Mary Magdalene encountering Jesus in the garden and thinking he was the gardener. And then she knew him because he knew her, and she heard it in the tone of his voice. And the story continues from there. Thomas wasn't with them when Jesus appeared. And now, as the story says, it's 1 week later. So we're keeping the time just like the story. And I want to reflect on Thomas by coming first through another story. There's a story that I remember from back in my childhood. It could have been my mother's children's Bible, or it may have been Sunday school. A story that Jesus taught, that there was a father with two sons. Now, there's more than one story that begins like that. And this one, the father has a vineyard and two sons, and he says to them, "Go today and work in the vineyard." And the one son says, "Yes, of course, father," and then he doesn't go. And the other son says, "No, I'm not going to do it." And he goes and he works in the vineyard. And I remember it like in the recesses of my memory that this was told as a very moral tale. As in, if you were in a Sunday school class, "Now children, you be like that child, not the other one." And so I went looking, I could not remember if I had heard it that way in Sunday school, but I found the children's Bible that my mother used to read us stories. It's not that way at all in this book, how our memories do things. In the children's Bible, it was from, I think, one of those conservative churches, because it's the ones who say yes and don't go pick the grapes are those who repent but don't change their lives. And so, little children, you change your life. It's actually in that children's Bible in that way. We've come to learn that the parables Jesus told can be applied in many different settings. They're free to, the meaning is elusive, so we can apply them in different ways. So I was thinking about these two sons and how I would apply it. I don't have children myself, so I'll take the parental out of the picture. How would I talk about these two and their answers? And I thought about friendship. What is it like to be friends with somebody who, when you invite them, they always say yes and they never show up? And what is it like to be friends with somebody who, when you invite them, they always say, "I'm sorry, I'm really busy, I'm not going to make it," but they somehow make it and they come? And which friend would you rather have? Well, frankly, I would rather have to go with another saying by Jesus, you know, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." I'd rather have the friend who says, "Yes, they're coming," and then they show up, you know, a little predictability in life. But actually, if I had to choose between the two, I'd rather have the friend who says, "Sorry, I'm really busy," and then just makes it happen. That would be a beautiful friendship. And that way of thinking about this story of the two boys allows us to say, you know, God loves both of those sons. God commands us to, through Jesus in his new commandment, to love one another. And so we're to love people who, you know, tell us, yes, they're coming and don't show up, as much as anybody else. It may be hard for you to be friends with some people, but we're called to love them all. At least that's what the overall message of the scriptures is. There are all kinds of people that we meet. We're called to love them all. So, you probably know I was going to get to Thomas. Which kind of friend is he? One who says no and then it turns into a yes, or one who says yes but it turns into a no. I think he's more like the boy who said, no, I'm not going to go in the vineyard, and then he went and he picked grapes anyway. He said, no, I'm not going to believe unless I have proof. And then he just heard Jesus' voice. He didn't stick his hand in Jesus' side. We don't read that at all. He was recognized just the way Mary Magdalene was recognized, and he believed, and he didn't need to go with the proof thing that he said he wanted to go with. Thomas was there for all these stories that Jesus taught, including this one of the two boys going to the vineyard. And I think, you know, it's a strange thing that there are many Christians who will say, all that matters is Jesus died for me and rose for me. And I want to say the stories are really important because they reveal more than we might expect. They tell how a group of people came to be attracted to Jesus in the first place and why they wanted to follow him. These stories give us a way of thinking about how we live. Jesus told a lot of stories, as the gospel says. Some got remembered and written down, and the world would not contain the number of books if they'd written them all down. But these were remembered for good reasons. They were written down so that we would have them. And so if we now think about this Thomas, are we in any way like him? Needing the proof, you know, being tentative until we get it? I've thought a lot about Thomas because I don't know if you know, there's a Christian calendar where each saint has their day of the year. And so Thomas, the day of feast day of St. Thomas is July the 3rd, which is my birthday. So I've thought about Thomas before. It's good sometimes to think of a saint and think, okay, in what ways am I like this person? In what ways am I not like this person? You know, it's a little self-examination. And so here's what I would say about Thomas. He was there for all the stories. He was actually a bit melodramatic. So there's the story of when Jesus was late for the death of Lazarus. And you know, Mary and Martha were so upset about that. And Jesus said to his disciples, we'll get there eventually. And they didn't want to go back to Jerusalem because they knew that the authorities were after Jesus. And Thomas says, oh, well, let us go and we will die with him. And you don't know the context of that remark, but it's a strange thing where you think, well, that's a kind of a zinger. But Thomas is also able to draw bold conclusions. He was the first one to say, my Lord and my God. So he's the first one to say Jesus is God. That's what this story says. If we move past the scriptures, he founded churches in South India. I did the wedding of a young couple from India, and they were very proud to tell me they were from the part of the country where Thomas brought Christianity. But I think the most important thing to me about Thomas is that he was able to doubt and voice his doubts rather than take shortcuts. You know, the shortcut when you doubt would be to kind of paper over it and say, well, I'm not going to think about that. I'll just put my doubts aside because, you know, we're going to sing my favorite hymns this week, and my doubts, I'll just not think about them. So when I think about Thomas and, you know, as my patron saint and how I apply him to me, he spent all that time with Jesus, so he knows him when he sees him. I aspire to spend time with Jesus. As I said, maybe he was a bit melodramatic, so I had to kind of look in the mirror, you know, of, am I ever melodramatic? And think about that. He came to that bold conclusion, my Lord and my God. I hope I'm bold about conclusions, but I think more I'm pretty careful about figuring out what I really think before saying anything about it at all. It's good to work on your doubts.
And that's what he does. It's healthy. And there may be some people for whom, you know, you have a doubt and you set it aside and you're like the boy that said yes to the vineyard and didn't go, right? You leave your doubts dormant and you never follow through. Like the friend who says he comes but then doesn't come. But that is also, the person with doubt is also a person that Jesus loves, that God loves. So about doubt, because Thomas, that's what we call him, Doubting Thomas. We have our doubts. We live in a time of doubt. People doubt Jesus' resurrection. Some people doubt God's actual existence. And then in these times, we doubt about whether the future will be safe and everything will turn out okay. So I want to say just a little bit about each of those doubts, about the resurrection, about God, and about the future. So the future. We live in times in which we are anxious. We don't know what's going to happen. People in Germany in the 1930s lived in times that were anxious, and they didn't know what was going to happen. 2 years ago, I was in Israel, and I went to the protests against Netanyahu in Tel Aviv. I went because I was with my rabbi friend, and she was going, and I was happy to go with her. And there were families with their children in strollers going to these anti-Netanyahu protests. And I'm sure they thought, you know, it's safe to go with my children in a stroller to a protest because everything is going to be okay. Well, everything wasn't okay in 1930s Germany. Everything hasn't been okay. In Tel Aviv, in the West Bank, in Gaza, in Jerusalem, it has not been okay. We live in a time of doubting about the future and people's safety. I can't take that away. We know this is true. What about the existence of God? I found over the past year that that's what I've mostly been reading in terms of theology. Can we prove that God exists? And if you don't feel the presence of God, does that mean that God isn't there? So I think reading this stuff has helped me to come around to that God exists whether we feel God's presence or not. God is loving whether we can notice it or not. To quote a poet of a long time ago, John Donne wrote something called Devotions on Emergent Occasions. And he said, I come to thee by embracing thy coming to me. To put it in our everyday words, when you become curious to know who God is, God planted that desire in you. The initiative was with God. When you long to know who God is. And what about doubts of the resurrection? Because that is the Thomas story, that he doubts this could happen. If you ask any individual Christian, do you think the resurrection is true? You're going to hear all kinds of answers. And maybe that's because the accounts of the resurrection are very different from each other and they're not consistent. I mean, in one account, he eats fish in front of them. In another, he says, don't touch me because I haven't ascended to the Father. When he's on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, then they have the meal and suddenly he's not there with them. I think I like that the stories have holes in them because if it was only portrayed one way, it would be take it or leave it. And this way, the story has space for all kinds of people to come to their own language of what they believe and work with their doubts.
After all, if we believe that God made all people, that means God loves all different kinds of people. The people who say yes, but their actions are no. The people who say no, but their actions are yes. God made all kinds of people. Then, in kinship with our loving God, I think we want to be a church where we value people with different kinds of thinking and people who have come to different conclusions. Where we value that you can tell a story in more than one way. Where we can have each a different theology. Where it's on each of us to put in our own words and our own testimony what we believe. Because if God's love is inclusive, if God's love is for everyone, it's going to be for people that don't see it the way you see it. God loves both those brothers in the vineyard, and God loves Thomas, and God loves you. So you be you. Be open to those who think differently. It's how we're going to create beautiful community. But you be you in God's love. Amen.
Creator of all, we join together in prayer with gratitude for your love. Help us to be enriched by the rituals we have inherited that anchor and renew us as we say, loving God, hear our prayer. We align ourselves with all the people who have called and prayed to you today and throughout history. We are not alone in our yearnings to be ever closer to your love. At this time of accelerating possibilities of change, Please help us to join our energies of love together, keeping us on the good road. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for our world. We pray to honor and care for our Mother Earth, expanding our awareness of the totality of her provisions for us. We remember with you today those many places of conflict. We pray for peace and justice everywhere. We pray for peace within homes, families, and within our own hearts. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for Canada and the new government which will be decided soon. Inspire our new leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to bravely work to foster good government and to make compassionate decisions, cooperating at all levels. Support us as we seek ways to be effective, responsible citizens who care deeply for all of us living in our country. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history so that we can learn better ways and journey forward together. Loving God, we pray for those who have no place to stay. We pray for the Church and our Metropolitan and Acting Primate, for Shane, our Bishop. We are thankful and ask your blessings for those who minister at St. John's. Gary, Alan, Pat, Christina, Kimberly, Nicholas, Carrie, Jesse, Barb, Monica, and everyone who volunteers. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for children and young people and their families. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, especially Alice, David, Inga, Liam, Peter, and Jack, and their loved ones and their caregivers. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by all of us and those close to our hearts. We pray for the departed, especially Denise Turunsky, and comfort for her husband, Pete. We enfold all our departed in tender remembrance. Loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for the creative spirit that lives in all of us and rejoice in the artistic works that are posted on our walls. And we give thanks to the St. John's team who made this happen, especially Detlef and Marianne. Holy God, draw us near to you so that we may enjoy the awe and wonder of you. Help us to know that you need us as we need you. Help us not to be frozen in the past or the future. Give us courage to keep on, to doubt. Renew us, that we may find our life in you, and with each other. Amen.
As Jesus taught us, we pray.
Thank you.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.
Hallelujah.